Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Blessed Savior Lutheran Church. It's so wonderful to have you join us for church, whether you be at your home or in your car or wherever you're hearing us. We're so happy that you're joining us here today. A couple of very quick announcements. First, with a very special and happy announcement. We are proud to welcome Sylvia Carol Veed, or Sylvie, born on July 11th, 2020, at 5:33 a.m. Sylvia is the granddaughter of Dale and Carol Schutte, some of our members here. She was born very healthy. The mom and dad are doing just fine, and she is so precious. We're so happy to welcome her into this world, and a congratulations to very happy parents and very happy grandparents. Continuing on, we do have our COVID announcement for everyone here today. So, as you might know, we are reopening soon. However, there was an announcement that was sent out to you via email. Please check your spam. And also a sign-up genius that has been sent out as well for signing up for the service. In that email, there's a list of kind of restrictions and some expectations that we would have you all follow here with us today. However, I can understand that sometimes seeing it would be easier than reading it. Don't worry, we have you covered with our amateur theater hour from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church. Hello, everyone. This is going to be our video explaining how you will come into Blessed Savior Lutheran Church worship during this COVID epidemic. We are reopening here on July 26th, and we want to make sure that every one of you knows how this is going to work. In a very simple manner, we're going to walk through what a typical Sunday morning is going to look like here for the time being at Blessed Savior. The first thing that you are going to do is when you enter in to the sanctuary, you'll be greeted by a elder or usher at the door who, after checking you in, will guide you to our sanitization table. There, you will sanitize with hand sanitizer your hands. If you do not already have a mask on your person, you will grab a mask from our mask bin. Mask bin to come on July 26th. Do not worry. If you are so willing and the Spirit moves you, our offering plate will be there as well. We will not be taking offering during the service time. After this, the person who is manning the sanitization will send you either to the middle doors, they will send you or to the side doors. And once that's happened, one of our ushers at one of those doors will guide you into the service and seat your family. After the service is completed, the usher will then go back into the sanctuary and dismiss you row by row. We ask that when you leave the sanctuary that you do not spend time here in the narthex, but if you wish to socialize, you may do so outdoors in our parking lot. We hope this has been made as clear as possible to everyone, and we know that this is a very hard and trying time right now, but we thank you all for your patience. We thank you all for your prayers that you have given to all of us, and we will see you on July 26th. Thank you so much. Our Sunday school still needs some help during the fall. We still are planning on opening up our fall Sunday school. Once again, might look a little bit different than what you're used to, but we still believe that this is an important way to get God's word to our children. So we are still looking for some additional helpers and teachers to volunteer. Please contact Lindsay Sherman coming in the next weeks if you are interested in being a Sunday school teacher, volunteer, or however you want to help that in the church. That's all the announcements that I have for this morning. So let's turn our hearts and eyes from the business of the church toward our Heavenly Father as we begin today's worship. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The opening sentences come from Psalm 119. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. We now take a moment to confess our sins to God our Father. We confess responsively. Give ear, O Lord, to the prayers of your people, and listen to their cry for mercy. You, O Lord, are merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Lord of mercy, we confess that with us there is an abundance of sin, but in you there is fullness of righteousness and an abundance of mercy. We are poor sinners whose thoughts, words, and deeds betray our weakness and death. You, O Lord, are gracious and merciful, and through Jesus Christ our Lord, you have saved us by his blood. Give us true repentance that we know your forgiveness and the comfort of a clear conscience. Give us also hearts made new by your grace that we love you above all things and our neighbors as ourselves, and by your Holy Spirit do what is pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. Through the mercy of God in Christ Jesus, our Savior, you have been made the children of God in baptism and live because of his mercy. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May he who began this good work within you bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. And also with you. And this peace that we have from our Father in heaven, we now share with those around us. Let us pray. O steadfast Lord, you are the great I Am, who promise never to fails us, and in whom alone salvation is to be found. Grant to us hearts to trust in your mercy, and courage in the face of doubt and fear, that we not surrender hope to darkness and faith to unbelief. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship with readings from Holy Scripture.
The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is from the prophet Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans, the 8th chapter. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. I will open my mouth in parables.
I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, An enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, Well, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, Well, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. He answered them, The one who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And we'll continue our worship with our children's message. Well, hello, everyone. It's wonderful to see all of you guys here with me. I just heard Pastor tell another really interesting parable by Jesus. And remember, last week we heard about Jesus talking about a sower who threw his seed everywhere in the world. And, well, this time we have almost the same thing. I mean, it has to do with weeds. Ugh, still do not like weeds. But this time it has to deal with Jesus talking about a farmer who had this big old land. And he had a lot of good things. In fact, he looked at this land and thought, it was so great and so wonderful, I'm going to just plant all of my best stuff there. And so he planted all of this good wheat. And someone who didn't like the owner of that land, though, he came in at night and he snuck in and put weeds in his garden. I mean, he's already really evil. He put weeds. Those things are nasty. They sometimes get your hands all red and rashy. Ugh. Pastor Matt is very allergic to weeds. They're not fun. But we have to take them out. That's exactly what weeds do. We have to put on our gloves and go in, and we expect to have to root them out. I mean, that's what is expected of chores, and you might have things that are expected of you, such as being expected to clean your room, expected to go out weeding, maybe expected to clean up the backyard after your pet, expected to listen to your mom and dad. A lot of expectations can be put on you, and they can be tough. And the master who had the field, the guy who owned it, had a lot of expectations on him. You see, when his friends found out that his enemy put weeds in his garden, there was this thing like, well, what are you going to do? They were expecting an answer to go out and, you know, go weeding. But, you know, when you go weeding, you can sometimes pull up a flower. You can sometimes rip up your mom's garden. Pastor Matt did that a lot when he was a kid, and his mom got so mad at him. But the guy who owned the field did something unexpected. He said, let the weeds and the wheat grow together. And then, when they're all grown up, then we will divide them. Because we don't want to take out a weed and we pull up wheat. Jesus actually would go on to explain that the guy who was the head of that field was God. The devil was the guy who put the weeds in. And the field was the world. And you might have maybe heard some scary stuff on the news. Pretty much being at home a lot. Maybe even you not knowing what's going to happen when you guys go back to school. There's a lot of scary things and a lot of just expectations. It might be worrying. But in today's story, God does something unexpected. He doesn't want to let the cares and the worries of the world hurt you. And yes, that means that sometimes they will happen around you. But he still loves you. And he's still going to be with you and let you grow in this world, even though it's not perfect. And that he also has the promise that when everything is said and done, Jesus will come again. And he will bring you and me into a place where there are no troubles, no worries, and best of all, no weeds. But it is so wonderful to let you guys know that you don't have to worry. And you don't have to worry about even what's going on right now, because God has you. He loves you, and he promises that he will be with you always. And that's a wonderful message to hear. Amen. You guys can now just go back to where your families are seated, and we will continue with our sermon hymn. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have certainly gone through a lot in these last 2 weeks. We've been on a journey in the Gospel of Matthew, and having seen Jesus preach to the crowds about some wonderful things, he's preached to them about how he is calling everyone to his side, that they may find eternal rest, and they may take upon his yoke that is easy, and his burden that is light. We heard even last week that the reason why some people weren't even coming to this message, they weren't taking that wonderful word of Jesus, it was because in the parable of the sower, some were taken away, some were burned by the cares of this world, some were choked by the material things of this world, but those who fell on good soil, that produced an abundant crop. We learned about how God is with us, and we also learned that even in these tough times, we can still know that God is going to be there with us, and that he ultimately is in control, and that we are living in his kingdom. It's a wonderful thing. It's great. But it may not be, maybe not what you expected. I have been thinking a lot lately about expectations in reality. We all know that we have certain expectations in our life. We expect that, small ways, when we go to sleep, well, we're going to wake up in the morning. There is an expectation in that. We expect that when we, even more simple, when we eat food, we will feel full. There's expectations, small like that. They're almost always guaranteed to happen, but you might not know. But there's still those expectations that we put, and sometimes they're made into reality. But that's not always the case. We can be expected to be treated well, even when sometimes we don't use that same courtesy. We can sometimes expect our leaders will find some way to fix the current issues or to explain what they're going to do better, and, well, reality isn't always kind. And when we don't have those expectations met, we get frustrated, annoyed, confused. And we have to wonder what the reality is. Because we have to remember, as Christians, we know that we are God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, living in his kingdom here on earth. Because even broken as it is, God still reigns over his creation. But the reality is, creation is broken. Paul says in his letter, all creation from the time that Satan entered the world and sin entered the world have been groaning as in childbearing. Groaning and hurt. And the expectation was God was going to do something. That's what I want to talk to you all today. And something that Jesus talks to us about today. Because there's this tension that we live in. The expectation of what we want and the reality of what is. And Jesus meets us today in that tension. Because he does this in another very famous parable of his. The parable of the wheat and the weeds may sound very strange to our ears, and rightly so. I want to read it to you again, but I want you to put yourself as a person in the crowd at that time. Put yourself in their shoes. Someone who might not know what's going on in Jesus' ministry. Who came to him wanting to see something. They had these expectations of Jesus. I want you to put yourself and come back with me those many centuries ago to a time when overlooking on a boat by a beach, surrounded by thousands of people, one man says these words. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up, they bore grain. Then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Oh, master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn.'" Once again, this story is told to the crowds. The unbelieving, having expectations crowd enters disciples who were right there with him, who knew Jesus. Both are different audiences that are caught in this tension. And they're having the same story told to them. And the same message is being told to them. But the impact is different. For the crowds who were gathered around them, they had this story and they marveled. Because they were looking at this story and they could only think to themselves, "What kind of bozo is this? Are you kidding me? The guy who has a field is not going to get rid of his weeds." No. The servants are most likely the most knowledgeable people here, they're thinking. At least they had the gumption and they had the audacity and the right to go to the master and say, "Well, do you want us to do this?" They were forward thinking. They were able to do something, and the master still said no. What kind of guy is that? Seriously? Expectations versus reality. The kingdom of God may be compared to a man who did this, Jesus is saying. When Jesus is speaking this parable, there are many different ways that many people across the centuries have interpreted this. Many right ways, talking about how this can be compared to the church. It can be compared to the visible church. It can be compared to the world around us. But for the people there, that first century, those crowds, where we meet ourselves today, Jesus was giving them the same message and impacted them differently. They had expectations. They went out to Jesus looking for someone. We heard it 2 weeks ago where they came out looking for John the Baptist, and what were they expecting? Jesus says, "What did you find? A simple man saying God's word. You came looking for expectations to me, and what did you find? A man who sits and eats with sinners." The expectation that the people of Israel had was that not the reality of what Jesus was doing. Jesus was calling all to his side, loving everyone. That was not what they expected. That's not how they wanted God's kingdom, which was being fulfilled in Jesus and happening in Jesus. That's not how they wanted or expected the kingdom of God to happen. And yet with this parable of the weeds, Jesus is sitting them down and saying to them, "Stop looking for something else. Stop looking and having expectations of God, or putting your expectations on him, and not seeing what I'm offering right in front of you. And I understand it must seem strange to you. I must seem like a man poisoning a field with weeds, and the owner doesn't even do anything. But what you are seeing in me is the present manifestation of God's reign here in the world. Don't expect anything different. You're not going to get it. But look to me. The disciples, when they heard this, got that same message. But the impact was different. When Jesus was explaining this story to the disciples, he portrays to them not the reign of God happening in his ministry, but what will happen at the end times. For they were in the present reign of God, going along with Jesus in his ministry, and he wants to bring them now to the time of the great restoration. That when God will come and send his angels and gather all of his people into his heavenly home, his new heavens and his new earth, where a new reality will be here. One that is free from pain, free from sadness, free from sin. The impact the disciples had, and for us, is that the reign of God here on earth is happening, and the greater reign of God is yet to come. Be patient and wait for it with great expectation. But waiting is the hardest part. We wait along with the whole world with great anticipation. For the Jews who heard this parable those many years, they were told how the kingdom worked and looks like. And for us disciples, we know the ending. But when will it end? Paul rightly states in his letter to the Romans that we, along with all creation, wait with groaning, with anticipation for the coming of the Lord. We wait in hope. But how long can hope last? Once again, we have these expectations. We want God to come now. We want God to do something, anything. It's 2020. You would think he would have come back by now. You would think that all of these things that are happening in the world might be the sign of the end times. That these might be the things that were talked about in Revelation, that were talked about in the Old Testament. Surely that's happening now. Surely God is going to do something about this now, right? And suddenly we're back in that crowd with those Jews and the unbelievers. They were seeing Jesus and expecting things that he wasn't going to do. And that's hard. Because just like the people of Israel, they put their expectations on something else. They put their expectations on their teachers, their leaders in their temple, thinking that, well, God, I can't see God. I don't understand what God is going on. So I'm going to put all of my baskets and all of my eggs into the basket of the temple, all into this visible place that I can be assured in. Well, the temple fell. Where do those expectations go? But we can be like them in putting their hope and expectations in the Roman government. The one who would conquer all of this land. Surely it's going to be great. Surely they can tell us what to do. They're going to be some hope for us, right? Well, the Roman Empire fell. And we do the same thing here. We put our expectations and our hopes in our president, our governor, our leaders, the community. We put our hopes and expectations in actors, in sports, in just sport athletes, maybe even in pastors. But I'm going to tell you something. They're all human, and they will all fail to meet your expectations, and certainly to meet God's. Then maybe you expect more from yourself. I can't tell you how many times I can wake up in a day or throughout the week and put all of these expectations on myself, what I have to do to help my family, how I have to put these expectations about being a good dad, the expectations of being a good pastor, about being a good husband and being a good person to everyone out there, to be very these expectations of being safety, to follow being a good citizen of America, to be a good citizen of Christ, and all these expectations get thrusted upon me one after another, and their reality becomes quite clear that I can't live up to them. I want to. But what Jesus is saying here in the coming kingdom of God that he is working in, that I want to do all this stuff, that I want to try to be better, that I want to, by my own power, be able to do all of this, Jesus is saying, stop. Don't expect anything different. Look to me. Look what I'm doing. You're not going to get anything else but what I give you. And what he gives us is rest. In an easy yoke. For Jesus looked upon the reality of our world, the brokenness, and he looked upon the law that God had given, the law that was to keep everyone his people, the expectation that would be followed. And it wasn't. But God looked upon this world, the reality of our sin. And he did something not expected. He didn't wipe out the world. He didn't curse or destroy humanity. Instead, he sent his son into this world who defied expectations and lived a perfect life, meeting every single expectation of the law and turning it into the reality of a perfectly lived life for you and for me. And defying all expectations of being a perfect man, he died a sinner's death and took upon the reality of our punishment, death, on himself. And then he rose through the power of God to make a new reality, that everyone who trusts in his name will have everlasting life, that the reality of death no longer has dominion over them. And what can is a new reality is new life in him. He promises that he is coming soon, that he is with us to the very end of the age. This is the reality that Christ has given to us. And yes, we live in this reality now. A broken world that is screaming, groaning for him to come back. So what can we do? We can pray. Paul does not leave his people in Rome in this state of what if. He says that God has given you something to help you in this time of waiting with great hope and with great expectation. He has given you his Holy Spirit. God lives inside of you. God lives inside of you, giving you hope, giving you peace, helping you to understand his word when you read it or hear it with your ears. But he does something wonderful and more. He promises that when you pray to God for anything, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with words too deep for groaning. So the very things we don't know what we need to pray for, the very things that we don't pray for but we should, and maybe even the things that are forgotten, the Holy Spirit, God within us, knows and brings those to God in heaven, who hears and answers our prayers. That is the reality, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we live in. The world is still crazy. It can be full of weeds. It can be full of wonderful things. But let us not put our expectation on the things of this world, but rather our trust in the one who works, the one who saves, the one who is near, and the one who hears us, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen. Let us confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue our worship with our gifts and offerings. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. We pray, Lord, you have been the refuge and strength of your people from generation to generation. Give to us a comfort of your presence in time of trouble, your grace to forgive our sins, and your peace to govern our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, your power holds all things together in heaven and on earth. Give wisdom to those who lead our nation and guidance to those who make, administer, and judge our laws so that life be protected and justice administered. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, your word speaks hope and life. Open our ears to hear your voice and our hearts to believe in Jesus Christ and to follow him as our Savior and Lord as we await with great expectation him coming once again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, your church lives by the grace you bestow through word and sacrament. Bless the pastors who preach to us this gospel and the church workers who serve us in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, your mercy extends to all our needs, and your grace gives healing according to your will. Hear us on behalf of Victoria Stocky, who is undergoing treatment for cancer, and all who stand in need today and that we name in our hearts. Grant to them grace sufficient for all their needs and sustain them in the hour of trial. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you have given us the encouragement of the mighty saints of old and those who taught us the faith. Help us to leave a legacy of faithfulness to those who follow us and sustain us in hope until we join the saints in Christ's eternal presence. We remember to the life today of Jerry Hughes, family friend of the Karen family, who passed in your eternal glory this week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those who celebrate their birthdays this week, for Linda Tucker, Sam Kinsella, Janice Paulsmeyer, Chris Kucher, Liam Trapp, Dirk Huseman, Thomas Williams, and John Weaver. Guide them as they live in this world and give them your blessed assurance that you are their God and there is none beside you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy by the power of your Holy Spirit who intercedes to you with words too deep for groaning, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you all his peace. Amen. Amen. And go in that peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. We conclude our worship this morning with our closing hymn, Built on the Rock, the Church Shall Stand.